Today we're going to deal with Matthew presenting Jesus, chapters number 10 through 20, and there's basically a review, but it's also a discussion. Now, chapter 10 of Matthew is very, very important, and the reason that it's important, it shows some things about Jesus. Most people that I encounter, they think that, you know, when the Holy Spirit came, people were given all this power. And as Ann and I, we was having a group discussion last night at our home. And in that very group discussion, one of the ladies there, she says she speaks in tongues. Which is fine if that's what you do and if that's the Holy Spirit. For me, I have never had God to give me the ability to speak in tongue and it make a difference. Now, I can make up a lot of words. Those that know me know that I have some original words. But they don't make me righteous. They don't give me power to heal. They don't give me power to shut my mouth when I'm in trouble. What does that for me is the word of God. And I was telling this lady that when she was talking about that, I was saying that people put a lot of emphasis on the tongue, but Paul said that was the least of the gifts. So now why should I major in the minor and turn what God say upside down? I don't want to major in minor. I don't want to major in making $2 a day. I don't want to major. I do work for people. I do service work. I don't want to major in $10 jobs. Because if I can do 15, $10 jobs a day, that's only $150. I'd rather major in $1,500 jobs or $15,000 jobs. So then if I have that much sense when it comes to business, why is it when we come to God, we want to major in the minor? Well, this all that matters is being saved. I submit to you that when we deal with the next chapter, chapter 21, God's going to let that be blown so far out of the water that maybe that will never cross your lips again if you've ever said it, or when somebody else say it, that you give them the opportunity to realize that you're majoring in the minor. But listen to the point here. In chapter 10, verse 1, this is all I want you to look at. And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he, talking about Jesus, gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now, if Jesus did all of this, why is it that people are making it seem like that there's a real issue that the Holy Spirit gave power, but they're not even thinking about that Jesus was able to give the same power? They did not have to wait for Jesus to die and Jesus to go back into heaven. They did not have to wait for the day of Pentecost for them to be able to do these things. They had the power to do it then. And I think many of us miss that. And what did they get that power from? They got it from Jesus at his what? At his word. Why don't we want his word? Why don't we want his word? I'm not saying we're going to be able to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we'll never be able to do some. But most people that I see that say they're doing these things lie. The people that they heal still wear glasses. The people that they heal still have feelings in their teeth. The people that they say that they made where their family will be all right, they still get divorced. Some of them still fat. You think it's healthy to be overweight by more than 40 pounds, 50 pounds, 60 pounds? That's a lie. I don't care who do it. Even if I look in the mirror, it don't make it true. Now, when I tell the truth on me, it just, y'all don't know what that tastes like going down. It's like drinking something hot without getting to prepare for it. You ever got a cup of coffee and You're going to drink it, you know, you may put it in the microwave, and you before you learn how quick how they heat up stuff, and you put it in your mouth, and you took the swig first, and you, that's what it feels like when you have to take the truth and apply it to yourself. It's like, but we have to do it. But in this 10th chapter here, if anybody looked at it and have any kind of a thought on it, an idea, a problem with it, or something that you see that has not been brought up before. Mm. And you, and I will need you to speak up so you can, you know, we can hear it on the recording. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm thinking that what you just said makes me think about really our real understanding of the Word of God. And God's plan, and I include myself in this. I was talking to a guy, I think day before yesterday, and he was telling me about the gifts and how we should all have the gifts and everything, and he was saying that, you know, talking about raising people from the dead. So I asked him, had he ever raised anybody from the dead? And he said, well, God told him to, but he was afraid to do it.
But well, then he didn't, and that means he's wicked.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I didn't go there, but he did. But his point in this verse, it does make me think about, you know, okay, what has changed, or if anything has changed, or you know, where are we in this? You know, and even in terms of for me, hearing from God and knowing, boom. I mean, like when I hold the Word up in front of me, boom. I know. Even like what we were just talking about, you made that point. I had forgotten about it. I went looked at my notes with Mark 16. You know, my notes have like verse 9 through the end of the chapter.
Right.
Where I add it later. You know, but I had forgotten about that until you brought it out. Understanding those things and knowing those things, and I guess relating it to us today and into what God is saying. Again, that's one of the many things that perplexes me.
Jane, speak up where we can hear you.
The way I looked at this was that Jesus was there with his disciples. He's calling them. And he gave them, that was just 12 men. And I whenever I talk to Lord, this is what we have. And I just don't believe God give men gift. Like he did them disciples. We have his word. And I believe people, you know, do, but not like I believe that people have gifts. But I mean, God was with them and was talking to them, and it was just 12 of them. And what bothers me is, how do I know just because you said that you can heal?
Well, Did you have your hand up? Anybody else that I didn't see? Well, people can brag about a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Proverbs say every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? I don't know. Do you all understand what he's saying when Solomon say that? Every man that brag about himself, what he can do, right. But a man is really the truth, mm-hmm. Who can find one? Mm-hmm. It's always more people talking about what they can do than what they can back up. Now, before I fully zero in on what you and Rich said, look at this 10th chapter and look again at verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, mm-hmm. 9, and 10, and 11. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to just come back through it. In 5 it says, then Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go down into the way of the Gentiles, nor into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them specifically where to go. But look at what he says in 7. Go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the first thing for them to understand is that it's about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about you having a miracle show. It's not about you setting up for yourself. Go and preach and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it says, heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Notice what he gets. I'm telling you to heal the sick. I've given you this power. Heal the sick. This is not Pentecost. This is not the Holy Spirit has come down. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, heal the sick. Look what else he says. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. In other words, you go cleanse the leper. Where you're not supposed to touch him, you've seen me touch him, and they be healed. Cleanse the lepers. Mm-hmm. Raise the dead. Look at what else he says. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. This is what he told them to do. Mm-hmm. The first thing, the point that I wanted to submit to you is that for people to say that the Holy Ghost will not be given until the day of Pentecost, that has no issue on the bearings of God's given spiritual gifts. His mm-hmm. Son gives spiritual gifts. Who do we think he is? Someone less? Mm-hmm. You think the Holy Spirit can give you something that the Son can't give or the Father gives? The Son gave gifts, but look at what he limited. Lost sheep, mm-hmm. House of Israel. Yeah. Now let's look at another thing, because I don't want to just teach this chapter right here, but I'm glad we're going through it, because in the next chapter, we do chapter 21, I'm going to refer back to this, and since we're covering it now, if you remember what we said, then we won't have to read as much. Amen? But look at this. It says in verse 9, providing the gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. That was money. The type of money, the coins that they would have. It says, no scrip for your journey, nor two coats. So don't be carrying no big purse, no big thing of money. And then it says, nor two coats. You got to pack heavy. Neither shoes nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. When you go out, you're going to be going out, and you trust that God's going to provide for you when you're out there. You don't have to go and stack up a whole lot of money. You don't have to go and beg everybody for every dime that they have. We got to go do this mission out there. We got to go to these lost sheep of the house of Israel, and y'all need to raise us a whole lot of money. And we need it. It's real crucial now. And the Lord has sent us. He said, no, go out like you are. Don't carry a whole lot of stuff and see what I can do for you. Look at what else he says. Verse 11. And whatsoever city or town you enter, inquire who is worthy thereby. In other words, go and stay on charity with somebody. Mm-hmm. If it's somebody worthy, you go there, and don't be going from house to house trying to rack up a whole lot, trying to see who got the best house. It's not about you. Be glad that somebody let you stay, because I could have told you stay out in the street. I could have said it. But then he says in verse 12, and when you come to a house, salute it. In other words, put your peace on it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And he just goes on down and says, if the people don't receive them, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, etc. Here's the point that is being made here. When he sends them out, he does not send them out with a so-called prosperity message. He does not send them out telling them, you teach people to heal the sick. He didn't tell them, you go tell the people to raise the dead. He did not tell them, you go tell the people to cleanse the lepers. He did not do that. This is what I'm doing. I'm letting them know the first thing that I want to come out of your mouth when you start preaching is the kingdom of God is at hand. Let them know you are representing me, the king, and the kingdom. Now, and I'm going to authenticate what you're saying. I'm going to validate what you're saying. I'm going to show signs and wonders so people can see, look, something has entered into the realm of our life that defies anything that we've seen before. And these men saying that they are the ambassadors of some kind of king. So why is that, Tim? So that we don't get caught up in Peter. So that we don't get caught up in John. So that when Mark talk, we don't get all excited and it's about them. It's about the king. Whereas when the Holy Spirit is given, People want to make it about them. They say it's about the Holy Spirit. But why is it whenever somebody says they got the anointing, and the anointing, and they got to have their bodyguards, and they got to have all these people, and I can't drive a Cadillac, that's too weak. A Benz, that's for people that's not in the anointing. I have to have a Bentley or above. And don't get me the bottom line Bentley. I need a jet. I need that. I need a Bentley and a jet. Almost sound like a song, don't it? Mm-hmm. So what happens is, Jesus said, don't carry all this stuff with you when you go out. Does that mean, Tim, if you're going to go somewhere and if you had to go to China and preach, don't carry but one, you know, don't carry no wallet and don't carry two coats? This is talking about them. These are the people that's carrying out Jesus' message so that people can understand that this is how the kingdom was set up, and Matthew was presenting Jesus in that way so that they would understand. It wasn't about them. So when you said they gave them the ability that you don't believe people can do these things now, one thing that you know for sure, that no matter how much anointing these people say they have now, why are they not writing the scriptures? Well, some of them do write a scripture. They write a book, and they'll teach their book as if it is the scripture, but it's not this. The Bible says that the church or the God's kingdom was based on Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone and the 12 apostles. Those are the pillars of the church. Now, we understand that Judas was replaced. If you don't understand it, he's replaced. By me saying that, then understand that Judas was replaced. And that was 12. Here's another thing. In looking at this passage, we ought to get an idea that there were things that was done that Matthew presented so that people later on, the Jews that were not seeing all these miracles would be able to look back, and they would be able to go back in their communities and see, did these things really happen? I don't think he would have had to write all of this if they were the only ones that had these powers and everybody that was in that assembly was still doing it. Folk want to be healed, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Don't they want to be healed?
Yes.
If folk ugly, don't they want to look good?
Yes.
If folk broke, don't they want some money? Mm-hmm. I wish that would go on to people that stink, but sometimes folk just don't care about that. But this 10th chapter has one other thing that I like. Look at verse 28. I love verse 28. Mm-hmm. Jesus says to them, and fear not them that can kill the body, and that's all that they can do. Now, you think about that. Is that a true statement? I mean, if you can divorce yourself for a minute and act like Jesus didn't say it. When he says, fear not them that can kill the body, fear not them which can kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't it seem like sometimes folk can do more than you than kill your body?
Well, it seems like we're mostly concerned about the body, but we forget about the soul. When you said that the picture came to my mind, if somebody put a 45 right up there against my temple, boy, it was a thing. I don't know if you heard about the thing that was just in the news about this guy went into St. Louis, went into the public thing, killed about four or five people and shot the mayor and all this. And this one guy was standing up there saying, you know, the guy was pointing the gun at him. He said, I thought I was gone, you know. And I guess my thought then was when that guy was pointing that gun at him, he wasn't thinking about his soul. He was thinking about his body, you know. And that's, so it's like we could, you know, like right now when it's safe, you know, we can talk about our soul. The thing that I think about is trying to like, while it's safe, to be so prepared, to be so practiced and prepared so that if you're in that situation, where something happens like that, you know, you thinking, okay, My concern is not my body, it's the soul. And my major concern is not that. You know?
Anybody? Anything? I mean, because it's a whole chapter here. I just kind of pick out some things that stick out to me.
I got another thing back to what we were saying before, like in terms of that healing being something that was designated for the disciples only. One of the things that come to my mind is contrasting that to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which we're going to be getting to later on. I mean, I think of, and am I wrong, I think of the commission, you know, of going out and bringing people to Christ as something that's given for all believers. And maybe I'm wrong with that, you know, even in terms of thinking, and I'm glad that we do this, as we think about, as we discuss this, as we go through this, in the conversation that I had with that guy, as I say, it just really makes me think. Again, it's not that I'm getting ready to go out and lay my hands on somebody that's got cancer and say, hey, you know, you're healed. But I am thinking, what has changed? And maybe you can address that. You know, what's the difference? You know, as you just said, people need healing today. People want healing today.
Jane?
Well, I look at it as especially the last part, it's just if you're not healed, you can kill. You know, that can destroy the both of the body, but able to destroy the both soul and body in Cassidy's hand. I think now there's some kind of power. He's letting you know, I have got this. I mean, it's to me, it is rather scary. I mean, this
yes,
is a scripture that I don't think
yes.
about much, but whenever you look at it, he can destroy your body, he can destroy your soul, and then what's left, put it in hell.
Yep.
I mean,
yes.
It's kind of bold, it's kind of boldest, you know.
But that's what I'm saying, and you think that this is somebody that got that kind of power, and he just said it, and he's not playing, he can do it.
And not only that, he's telling his servants that.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's...
You need to be afraid of me.
Yep.
You know? I mean, it's more than my mind can comprehend, you know.
Well, I'm glad that was brought out. Look at who he's talking to. I'm sending you out there. I didn't go to all the stuff we kind of people is going to be dealing with,
right.
Like lambs and four wolves and all of that. But when you go out there, don't be scared of them. He knew that some of you were going to be killed. He knew that some of you were going to be beaten. Peter and John was beating. James got his head cut. I know these things going to happen. But I'm telling you now, don't be scared. Don't be scared. They can only kill the body. Long as you understand that I'm the one to be afraid of, I've given you a job. I've given you a commission. I've anointed. I've appointed. I've chosen you, and I've given you power, and you better use it because now it's no longer optional. When you don't do what I say, it's not the fact that I'm being neutral. I'm being rebellious. I told you what to do. Now get with it. And if you don't do it, you got to deal with me. That's pretty awesome. It's 12 of them he's talking about. It's 12 of them that he's talking to. Don't you think they say, man, we'll bust you up. I got four young men in the house, okay? I sleep in that house. Now let's be honest. Suppose one day they decide to give me a soap party. You all have been in the military, but soap parties whenever somebody been bothering folk and maybe they get a soap and a sock and at night they teach them almost like how Gideon taught those men and they show them that, you know, you might be bad in the daytime, but at night we can handle you. You better treat people right. But Jesus is like, just like I'm telling you not to be afraid, I'm not afraid of you all. I'm saying it to your face. Now, I understand that people say, well, he probably wasn't thinking like that. But if that thought would have came into their mind. Because some men don't like to be told that I can do something to you. Try, even in your school, try one day saying, you know what, I can hurt you. if you mess with something about, just watch the response you get. Now Jesus said, I can cast your body, I can kill you and put your body and soul in hell. You don't think that was awe-inspiring? You've already seen the man stop the storm. You've already seen him raise the dead. You've already seen him touch somebody with leprosy and that leprosy go away. You've already seen him handle the Pharisees. You already seen some of them have been up in the mountain and seen him glow. And when he said that, there was no doubt in their mind who he was.
So what has changed? Is it that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, meaning Jesus was right there? Okay, and so we look today, and Jesus is not here in the flesh. Are you saying that that's the essence of what has changed?
What the
difference is? Are we saying that the kingdom of heaven is not at hand right now?
The kingdom of heaven is at hand right now. Go ahead, Jane. And then I'm going to ask Tristan.
I don't see that. It would just let him know what, I mean, that's the way I look at it, is what he could do. He had this power.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see no difference, because he still can do it. I mean, what can do? I mean, he can just stop us from breathing just like that.
What Rich is talking about
is now, if we come to somebody that's sick, mm-hmm. or that's got a demon,
he's talking about us.
Yeah, why can't we cast that demon out?
Because he haven't given us that power.
Now that might.
If he had, I mean, I don't think you have to be a special person. We couldn't handle it. Can you imagine if I had this kind of power? I just don't believe I could handle it. Mm. I mean, you got to think about it. Like, I mean, this is something. Being human, oh my Lord. You think about it. Could you handle that kind of power? I mean, you listen to what he's saying. I mean, this is the way I think. You listen to what he's saying. For me, I couldn't handle that kind of power.
What would you do wrong with it?
I want to
explore this.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, because
I didn't see him say you could kill anybody. But I did hear him say if you shook the dust off your feet, would you shake your dust off your feet and make it more tolerable than Sodom and Gomorrah for that person just because they say something you didn't like? Because he did give them that power too.
Yeah, I've got power to go load up this double bath shotgun and pop it up a couple of times. I mean, you know, but now this is somebody who can destroy your body and your soul and then put this, go on and do something else.
You talking about the power of Jesus to do that, to destroy body and soul in hell. I'm thinking you talking about the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the leper. You talking about if God would have cut you loose with the ability to destroy body and soul and cast it into hell. Okay. Woo, yes, Lord. He know who not to give that to. Yes, sir. Rich, when people say that this power is this available to us today, why don't we have it today? It's obvious we don't have it today. Oh, I can hear somebody saying, he just don't believe in the Holy Spirit. He don't believe the Bible when God say Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. But let's be honest. Do you see it? Those people did not have to walk around believing to see that Jesus healed people. They did not have to believe to see that he healed the blind man. They wanted to kick that man out of the synagogue. They did in John 9. They wanted to get rid of his mom and daddy. They were scared. So they said, you know, he's of age. Ask him. They killed Jesus because the people couldn't see the miracles. They didn't want to believe, but they saw it anyway. Now, here's the essence. Do we see it now? I say no. Oh, there are people say we got all kind of miracles in our church and people got prayed for and they were healed. Beautiful. Do you know if they wouldn't have been prayed for, they wouldn't have been healed? I just want to be honest. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they would not have. But what about the people that were prayed for that wasn't healed? So that means God didn't care for them? Your power was weak then? No, what you say when that person don't get healed, they didn't have enough faith. So you always got to out when it don't work the way you prescribed it. Jesus did not tell them, go out there, and if the people believe, then they'll be healed. He said, you do it. And that's what he said.